I know we don't really espouse patriotic views and things of that nature, but we do live in America. And America, far and wide, is known as the land of opportunity. That's what everybody calls it, land of opportunity. Think of America, people abroad think of the American dream, right? The American dream where we can all come and we can get any job we want, get the education we want, we can, you know, get married, have our 2.4 children, and go, you know, send them off to school, they can get their education, we can retire, and we can play golf, and we can go fishing, we can buy an RV, and live out the rest of our days in happiness. So that's the American dream. My father came from Switzerland kind of for that purpose, to pursue the American dream. He felt he had a better opportunity here than he did in Switzerland. Not that it's all that bad over there either, so to speak. But I trust and I'm persuaded of better things of us that none of us have that goal of just retiring and taking our ease, you know, having our barns full, that we have enough that we can just take our ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I'm persuaded we're not of that mindset. But how do we see the land that we live in? You know, we are not here by accident. I mean, a lot of people across the world don't have the privileges that we do have. And I'm thankful, you know, even this morning, you know, here we are, we're all bundled up. I see, you know, ladies, they got their scarves on over their ears and everything like that. And there's going to be people meeting here in, maybe 12 hours or so. They're going to be in a lot worse conditions than this. They're going to be meeting in different places, underground. Who knows what heat they have? They don't have the opportunities that we have even just to come here and be meeting like this without wondering, oh, who's going to see us? Are they going to come in? We're reading a book at home right now about some people who got converted in Russia, and they're suffering terrible persecution there in Russia. So I'm very grateful we can meet here. We can actually do the commandments of God here with a clear conscience. For the most part, those things are being eroded away. I think some of us maybe know those things, but in many countries, we are not allowed to evangelize. In many countries, we are not allowed to chasten our children in a biblical manner. In many countries, they are not allowed to gather as saints. They are not allowed to abstain from war. They're not allowed to have a Bible in many countries. And I think we all know that, and I'm not just trying to harp on those things, but I do want us to think of and recognize the privileges that we do have here in this nation. And we can be thankful for that. And we ought to pray for our government. And we can think, well, these are a bunch of ungodly cretins in the government or something like that in our own self. But we're going to pray for them. We're not going to speak evil of them. Well, we'll leave all that to God. God just tells us to pray. And we can pray for them, and we should pray for them. And we can continue to enjoy these privileges that we have. A lot of those freedoms are being eroded in this country. You know, how we raise and discipline and educate our children, many in the world now feel that is their business as much or more as it is our business. You know, whether we ought to be spanking our children or not is their business. You know, we live in a land today where if young people, and I want to be very discreet here, I think the adults will know what I'm talking about. Young people, if they choose certain reprobate lifestyles or they have tendencies that way, in some states, parents are forbidden from trying to direct them another way using certain modes of counseling or whatever you may call it. If they actually choose that lifestyle for themselves, parents, you're not allowed to touch that thing. That is law in some states in our land today. But we have these privileges. We still have privileges. And if we believe what the Proverbs say about God directing the heart of the kings and things of that nature, we can say, I think with confidence, we have our privileges in this country by divine providence. And I think we do well to take advantage of them. So we have this opportunity, an opportunity that very few others have in the, I don't want to say very few, many do not have, I'll say it that way. Homeschooling is illegal or severely restricted in many countries. And I want to be careful in what I say here. I suppose I should preface this whole thing. I have no desire whatsoever. I don't feel homeschoolers, church schoolers, we ought to be casting stones at one another. Okay, And if anything I say here does that, please understand that is not my intent. But this is a day about homeschooling, so I will be singing the virtues of homeschooling here quite a bit today. And that's not intended to cast stones at anyone else if they've chosen otherwise. So anyway, so this is not by accident that we have this privilege. The nations know throughout history, they know as we have our children, if they can get to our children, they have the future. Do we have that mentality ourselves as Christians? If we can get to our children, if we can teach them what is right and wrong, if we can teach them morality, that we will have a future church. They are the future of the church. I don't think any of us can deny that. We were children once, were we not? So if you can persuade them of what is normal and good, they will see sinful behavior not only as normal, but even courageous, as we see today. Today, when people so-called come out of the closet, standing ovations. And in high school, the valedictorians will stand up and they'll make their confession in front of the whole school. And everybody gives them a standing ovation for their courage, for choosing a reprobate lifestyle. If you get to the children, you turn their whole way of thinking throughout their adulthood, throughout their life. The Nazis, Chairman Mao in China, you know, bringing about communism to China, the whole cultural revolution and everything. They had these youth camps. They had propaganda. They had comic books. They had all sorts of different things that they would try, and they would persuade the children of the virtues of communism or Nazism, whatever it may be. And well, this is the way it is. This is the truth. It forms their mind and how they think. And it made the killing of certain races not just okay, but beneficial to the country. It's the right thing to do, not just make a choice. It's the right thing to do. The influence of young education. We have a greater responsibility than we realize. Now, homeschooling is something that was not even legal in all 50 states in this land until 1993. Fairly recent. But interestingly enough, I don't know how many of you know this. I actually didn't know this until I did a little bit of research on it here recently myself. Homeschooling was another one of these causes that was championed by Anabaptists. In Wisconsin, in 1973, Yoder versus Wisconsin, there was an Amish family who put forth to the state that they would like to have their children at home. And I believe in that instance, it was at age 12, they were asking if they could bring the children back home so that they could preserve their way of life. Because they were not going to get it in school. Because the state had a certain age, you're going to be in school until this age. They didn't have the option of staying home. So this Amish family, the Yoder family, they brought it to the state, and it actually went all the way to the Supreme Court. Now, I understand we're not going to be people to necessarily fight for our rights, but let's be honest, people. We wouldn't have conscientious objection in this land as an option were it not for the meek and respectful appeals of Amish, Mennonites, or other plain people. We wouldn't have it here. I'm not altogether sure if vaccinations were something championed by Anabaptists or not, but swearing of oaths, you know, that's something that there are provisions in the law that not we can now affirm rather than swear. And that's something many nations don't have, but that's something that was put out or put forth by the Anabaptists. Hey, this is violating my religious freedom, which in this country, at least at its foundation, they say religious freedom is something very important. And that's the way the Supreme Court ruled in a case of Yoder versus Wisconsin, that religious freedom is more important than the state's agenda to educate children. That was quite a few years ago, but the precedent still stands. And that opened the door for all states to write their laws accordingly and appeals to be made accordingly, knowing that, you know, if taken far enough, people would take it all the way to the Supreme Court. So states began to pass the laws, making it legal to homeschool. Again, another thing. I continue to be amazed at how many privileges we have in this country that were championed by Anabaptists. You know, non-resistant Anabaptists. There's no politics. There's no voting. There's no wars. There's no all of these things that are, but yet we are the salt of the earth in this way. I find that quite amazing. So we have this opportunity, like few, if any, other nations in this world. Turn, if you will, with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And while you're turning there, maybe you didn't bring your Bibles, but I'll read it nonetheless. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Who knows when somebody asked Jesus Christ, what was the greatest commandment? Who knows what that commandment was? That's right. That's exactly what he says. I think we all know that. I think most of us anyway ought to know that. That's where he went. Now that commandment, where is that found? It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. He invoked the law back here. Now I'll read this again. If you didn't bring your Bible, that's okay. I'll go ahead and read it here. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Mind wasn't mentioned there, but I think Jesus made it clear the mind is inseparable from all this. We can't leave that part out. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Who says the law is only external? This shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land wherein he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive tree, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. And I'll just go ahead and stop there. Now, the context of this great commandment is found here. That's why I read so much of this. This great commandment of the Lord, to love the Lord with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. It says, thou shalt teach these things diligently to thy children. How? And I think all of those who have heard the Godly Home series, and maybe many of you who have not heard of the Godly Home series, it says, teach them diligently as thou sittest in thine house, and as thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. There's some instruction given to us to do this. God also knew man's tendencies and weaknesses. He said, beware. After I bring you into this land, beware. Because you're going to come to this place of ease, basically. You're going to have all this stuff which you didn't even earn. You didn't work for these vineyards. You didn't plant these vineyards. You didn't build and fill these houses. You didn't do any of this. So beware once you go there, because you're going to forget the Lord. You're going to forget things if you're not careful. And I found that to be true in my life. It's happened more than once, unfortunately. I didn't learn the first time, and it happened a second time, if not more. But oftentimes when we come and we can enter into a like-minded brotherhood. When we first came into the charity circles, I was thinking, oh, this is amazing. You know, I was used to being around all these children who were raised in public school, and they're just ungodly. I didn't learn anything morally good in public school. You know, I learned how to rebel. I didn't learn how to be under authority. I learned how to rebel. I learned how to be cool. I learned how to be proud. I mean, all those things come naturally. I don't think I need school to do some of these things. But anyway, I didn't learn these things in public school, but here I am. Now we've got these godly, holy people. And their children aren't going to be foolish. Their children aren't going to be sinful. They're not going to get into all these things. They're not going to get into mischief. They're not going to have moral problems. Surely they obey their children or their parents. Surely they're going to encourage my children to do the same. That's what I thought. I don't know if that's everybody else's experience here when they have their children around other children, whether here or elsewhere. But I've myself have found, you know what, that's just not true. I got into this place where I feel like I don't really need to watch them very closely. I got sweet fellowship to have over here. My children, yeah, they can be over here, and I don't have to worry about it. What a mistake. What a horrible mistake that was. And I come to find out that, plain folk have a lot of problems too. And all I'm saying by that is, you know, we're really all the same in a lot of ways. Now, I would treasure your heritage if I had it. I just don't, at least not by birth. But I got lazy, and it caused huge problems. And if you were to ask my children, yeah, they got into things that we knew nothing about at the time. I mean, they've already confessed these things to us. And, you sit there and think, well, how could this happen? Well, the problem was I wasn't being vigilant. I wasn't being diligent. And that's a snare that we have around like-minded people. We end up thinking everything's going to be okay. And we can do the same thing with education in our children. We think maybe that somebody else can do a better job than I can, or at least as good of a job as I can at educating them. We can end up thinking that children will be in a safe enough company to allow them to be somewhere else out from under our oversight for 6 hours out of every day and hope that we're still going to be the ones to have the primary influence on their morality. But we have to have a different mindset than that. And again, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to cast stones at a church school concept. There was a time where I would have before I came here. I'll just say that. I see godly people, godly young people here who were brought up in a church school. I hadn't seen that before, and that's why I opposed it so much before. But I appreciate the godly young people that I see here, godly young parents who, yes, you were church schooled, and I can see that that can work. So please understand, I'm not trying to cast stones when I say things like that. But once we get married, once we have children, God has ordained for us a place. You know, we enjoy the pleasures of marriage and all those different things, but God has given us a tremendous responsibility in marriage and child rearing. Malachi, the book of Malachi, gave a little bit of insight into God's heart for marriage. He said that the reason he made the two one was what? Does anybody know, Brother Noah? That he might have a godly seed. It wasn't just so husband and wife could have an enjoyable time together. It wasn't just so we could be a couple. It was so that godly seed would be raised. And we need to take that very, very seriously. That was why he made the two one. And that's why the instruction is given. Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 4. Interesting. That was reading in Deuteronomy 6:4. I just noticed it's sort of the same chapter verse. Anyway, in Ephesians, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that word bring them up means to rear up to maturity, to like you would almost rear an altar, if you would, in the Old Testament. Talk about rearing up an altar to cause it to stand. That's what we as fathers are supposed to be doing with our children, to bring them up, to rear them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That word nurture is a wonderful word. It means tutorage. It means education. It means training. Well, there's a commandment in there, is it not? That sounds a lot like what we heard back in Deuteronomy. You should teach these things to your children while you sit in your house and walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. I think what God's trying to say, all of life should be this way with you fathers, with your children, with you parents. and your children. Teach these things to your children always, throughout the day. Not just having your morning devotions. Say, okay, and you open up your Bible and say, okay, children, here's what the Bible said. Now, I'm all in favor of that. Those of you who know me, I'm all in favor of sitting down with the Bible and your children and teaching them the way that that Christ walked, teaching them the Bible way. I'm all in favor of that. But if we get together and we have 10 or 15 or 30 minutes of time where we sit and teach our children and say, well, I've done my duty. I've done it while I sat in my house. But you haven't done it while you walked by the way. Maybe you did it when you rose up, or maybe you did it when, after supper. But are you doing it all the time? The words there, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Not or, right? We understand logic. There's ands and there's ors. I can do this or this, but if I do this and this, I have to do both. I can't just choose one. So it is our job as parents to instruct our children, to raise them up in the tutorage, education, and training and admonition, which is correction and rebuke of the Lord. It is our job as fathers and as parents. There's many verses in Proverbs and elsewhere that talk about mothers doing similar things. Okay. Now we have our reasons. We have our reasons for educating our children. But I don't know how you all look at it, but I don't look at having them be smart and having them learn the three R's as being the primary reason for our home education. Now it needs to be there. Don't get me wrong. But I want to teach my children to read the Bible. That's why I want them most of all to know how to read. Of course, it's good for many aspects of life. If we don't know how to read, we're in a heap of trouble when it comes to getting a job. Okay? But I primarily want them to learn how to read so that they know how to read the Bible. I primarily want them to learn the language and learn how to speak and learn sentence structure and things like that so that they can be preachers of the gospel, so that they can communicate with their wives, so they can talk to their boss or whatever it may be. It's life skills, but primarily for the propagation of the Word of God. That's why God put us here. He didn't put us here to learn calculus. Nothing wrong with learning calculus, but that's not His purpose in putting us here. He put us here because He wants us to learn and learn diligently. He wants us to teach and teach diligently so we can all think that we have something better to do as parents. You know, there was one family back in Wyoming, we offered, when our girls were older, we'd be glad if you and your wife just want to take a time and just go out for an evening or even a weekend if they wanted to spend some time. They had a lot of little children and they didn't have any old enough to watch them. And they trusted our family. And we said, we could have a couple of our girls go over and watch your children for the evening or watch your children for a day or two if you guys wanted to just have some time. And they said, no. This is our lot in life. This is what we're supposed to do. I'm a parent. I'm a father. I'm here to raise my children. This is not somebody else's job. And there may be a time when their children are older that they can do that. But it's their own children, their own family at that point. So he very graciously just said, no, I have. That's not even in my consciousness right now. I'm not looking to go somewhere else. I want to be right here with my little ones. And I bless him for that. And I'll admit, my wife and I would go out once a month and have a time together. And before I had old enough children, there would be a trusted young lady that could come over and help. And I'm not necessarily saying that's altogether wrong to do in any way. But I appreciated the heart of this man who was resigned to this. Not just resigned, but I think this was his purpose. He had a vision for his children and his family. Now, we can all have other things that we're supposed to be doing. We church ministry, right? Well, that's a noble cause. But what are some of the primary qualifications of being a minister in the church? If a man can't govern and rule his own home well, how is he going to take care of the church? Homeschooling is an opportunity for parents, for a man, to train himself to be a church leader. I don't know about all of you, but my children can get into some squabbles. They get into arguments. And we have, and maybe it's not even an argument, maybe we just have a person who's this way and another person who's this way. I mean, we could have, and forgive me, ladies, I don't mean to betray any confidence, but you know when it came to painting our girl's bedroom, putting some paint on the wall? You know how long it took to figure out what color to paint that thing? Because we had people who had different opinions. And now I, as a father, I've got to come in here and figure out, well, how do I work through this? I don't want to play favorites. I don't want to just base it on what I want necessarily. If they have a preference, maybe I wouldn't pick any of those colors. But I'm not a girl. Okay? But you've got to figure out as a father how to work through all of these things. You've got to figure out how to have the older condescend to the younger. And yet not have the younger one figure out how to manipulate the whole situation because they're little. And say, well, I'm daddy's little girl. And I'm going to get my way. All I have to do is cry a little bit. We have to figure these things out. Maybe it's a little bit more like church life than we think. That's the very training ground for becoming a minister. How do we rule and govern our home? So my wife and I decided that we were going to homeschool our children. We were going to be a single income family. This is long before we had ever come into contact with Anabaptists. We were going to homeschool our children. And we're going to be a single income home. I don't care if we got to live in a cardboard box. Our children need some understanding. They need guidance. We can't have this dual income home and just learn to live with that. Okay, now I will say I do have a college education. Maybe that's a little easier for me than some based on my income. I understand that. And I admire those who are not making as much yet still make that choice and that conscious decision. God bless you for that. But this is another one of those things where we had to make a conscious choice. And thankfully, again, homeschooling was legalized. 1993, it was in all states. I can't remember when it was in Colorado that it was legalized, but it was legalized before we began schooling Ashley. And so we've homeschooled throughout all of our children's education. I'm very thankful for that. So we have, excuse me a minute here. Let me catch up to my notes. Okay, the blessings of homeschooling. We've talked about the opportunity and maybe even the responsibility here of educating our children. But the blessings. Let's talk about the blessings. I'll try and be fairly quick here. I don't know when I started, but and I don't know what time am I supposed to be done? Okay, all right. Okay. I'll try and not go too long here. All right. In the blessings of homeschooling, I kind of broke it down into three different sections of blessing. And each one has several underneath it. Okay. The first blessings I'll talk about are educational blessings. Things that they get out of homeschooling that they would not get in a more public setting or a group setting. Maybe they would some of these, but maybe they would not. Children, one thing about homeschooling, they learn how to learn. You can teach them how to learn. It's not just a matter of, well, I can't figure this out and I'm going to go ask the teacher. Yes, they need some wisdom. They need some guidance. They need some help at times. But learning how to learn is an invaluable trait for life. It's a life skill rather than just, well, I don't know how to do it. So you're just kind of stuck there. I guess I'll go do something else. No, you have to figure out where to find the answers. Okay? So they learn how to learn. Invaluable character trait. The parents can determine the curriculum within the bounds of the law, which often is very broad, by the way. We can have this viewpoint that the law says, I have to do exactly all of this. The law is pretty broad. Even something called unschooling is legal in all 50 states, which I won't get into what unschooling is. We can talk about that later if you want to understand what that is. But you get to determine the curriculum. You get to determine the content. You don't have to teach your children evolution. You don't have to teach your children about the birds and the bees before they're ready. That happens in public schools, I want to say around third or fourth grade now. Or that's when I was in school. It's gotten younger since then, I believe. You don't have to teach your children those things before they're ready. In public school, they take it upon themselves saying they're going to learn this and they're going to learn it now. You don't really have a whole lot of say. But you get to determine the curriculum. You get to determine what courses are most important. And you can even customize that a little bit towards their aptitudes. Okay, parents get to determine the level of education that their children have. There's not somebody saying you must get to at least pre-calculus in high school. If your children wants to be a farmer, they don't need this. Now, maybe your child would like a higher education. I am not opposed to education, even higher education. I don't really care for the college atmosphere. And not only do I not care for it, I really think it's abominable. I wouldn't encourage anybody to send their child off to college. Okay, I've been there, and it was bad enough when I was there. And from what I've seen in the news, it's only gotten much worse. Don't send your children off to college. But there are ways to even educate them in college at home. Again, if they learn how to learn, even that can be done at home to an extent. Okay? Parents can customize schooling for specific needs and learning abilities or disabilities as they get older or toward their interests. You can customize these things. Sometimes children are a little bit slower or a little bit more advanced. Maybe a lot slower or a lot more advanced. And you can allow that child, the one who's more advanced, to go as far as he wants. You can allow that. You can, but when one is slow, you know, when I was in school, if you were that slow, you just ended up, you went the whole year, figured out at the end of the year that, you know, I failed. I've got to take fourth grade over again. Now I'm going to be a year older than everybody else in school. Now I'm going to be looked down on because I'm older than everybody else, but I'm just too dumb. I'm just too dumb. You know, and that's not the way the Lord wants us to see ourselves. And just being, I'm just too dumb. I can't figure it out. But parents, you know, rather than just saying, well, we're going to go through the whole year, and if you don't do it, we're just going to do the whole year over. You can start back, you know, if you see that they haven't passed the first thing, you can actually just do that over again until they get it. And you can just bring them right along. If I've got 20 other students in my class, I don't have the time to do that. And everybody just sort of has to come along the same way. There are different methods of learning. Some learn by hearing. Some learn by reading. Some learn by watching examples. There's many different ways that children learn. I need to see an example. And that's where y'all have been such a blessing to me in the Christian walk, because I actually get to see what some of this looks like. I get to see, you know, and the same thing happened when we first came into Anabaptist circles. Oh, well, that's what Jesus meant by when he said, love your enemies. You know, love your enemies before meant something a little bit different, I guess. I mean, this is what everybody was doing, right? You can go to war. That doesn't mean you're not loving your enemies. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe there's something bigger to this. And we start to learn. I learn by example. Some people can read and remember everything they read. I just cannot. My reading comprehension is abysmal. But you, as a parent, you can actually focus customize, if you will, your education to that child to accommodate him where he is. And you don't have to worry about slowing everybody else down. Very seldom do you have two children in the same grade. And you know what? Even if they don't get as far in their schooling, you get to determine that. You know, how far do they really need to go? And what becomes just a frustration to them? What is just beyond them? So we have that opportunity to do that, and it is a blessing. It is something that's very difficult to do in a crowd. Children do not slip through the cracks. Okay, so those are some blessings of just education. You know, they actually get to learn better. They're better schooled when they can get the attention that they need and have things directed and customized toward their interests and aptitudes. Again, the law is very broad on what you're allowed to do. So those are some educational blessings. Character blessings. Now, this is where things really start hitting my heart, because this is why we homeschool, because we teach our children character. It is a fertile training ground. Again, we don't just have to sit there in the morning, in morning devotions, or I or my wife during school time sit there and say, okay, this is what you are to do. This is how you're supposed to respond. You're supposed to respond in love. You're supposed to respond gently. A soft answer breaketh the bone. And go through all these things. You're supposed to condescend to men of low estate. You're supposed to do all of these different things. And I can tell them all the stuff they're supposed to be doing. And they can know it in their heads. But when you get to school them yourself and they run into a difficult situation, you actually get to train them as they live, as you walk along the way. They can come to a place, well, I don't understand this concept of mathematics, whatever it might be, algebra. I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me. I was there. Now I'm an engineer. But I was there. I can remember sitting in eighth grade. I was crying. You know, I just moved to Colorado. I'm 6'2", on the football team and everything else, and I'm sitting there crying because I can't figure out what this X thing means. What do you mean X? What's X? Tell me what X is. Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Yeah, but what is it? Well, it's a variable. What do you mean a variable? I didn't get it. I didn't get the concept. But all of a sudden one day it clicked. Oh, well, I get this now. And I can just keep going. I didn't have anybody in school I had a brother-in-law who was living with us at the time. And he tried to help me through it. And finally, yes, it happened. But I didn't get the attention I needed at school. I could have been just left in the dust. Who knows what would have happened. But I can run into this thing that's difficult. And we can teach our children saying, here's how you deal with a difficult situation. Rather than just giving up, you actually have to press through. Rather than just letting them go on. You can teach them the character of endurance and perseverance as you teach. As you educate them, you teach them structure. How did Jesus Christ disciple his disciples? They walked together. They lived together. What seems to me in the Bible, just about all day. Every day. They left their nets. I'm sure they did some fishing. It says so. They still did. But they spent all sorts of time together. And Jesus, you know, when he was done praying, what did they say? Lord, teach us how to pray. Well, he'd already taught them some. By example, teach us, you know, when they could see him, when Peter was watching him, Peter could understand non-resistance at that point. Peter twice mentioned in his first epistle, I can't remember what in the second one, but, you know, for he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He could see Jesus. I can't remember if he was actually present when the words were said, but he says, you'd have no power over me at all. We're not giving you from above. He committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Oh, that's what that means. We get to see what this looks like. We get to see what it means for a mother or a father to condescend to men of low estate and just put themselves down at a lower level. My children get to learn how to condescend to people of low estate. When my 17-year-old is out playing tag during recess with my 5-year-old and everybody in between, rather than just saying, well, I'd like to really be able to just get into the game. You know, oftentimes, you know, with volleyball or something like that, you know, I want to be able to slam that ball down my opponent's throat. You know, but if I'm with a little 5-year-old, that seems a little bit overdone, right? But no, you get to watch them just enjoy their time together. And if they're not enjoying it, you can teach. Okay? It's not just this is what the Bible says. You get to actually address character deficiencies as they walk along the path, as they come into life situations, not just religious studies, but actual life situations that you get to train their character. That's huge to me. That is what it means to teach them as you walk along the way. You're not just teaching them how to do a certain thing. You're teaching them character. How would Jesus respond? How are you supposed to respond? Here's an application for you. Okay. So again, they learn that. They learn condescension. They get to get along with other age groups. I don't know how many people were warning me against homeschooling before we started homeschooling, saying your children are going to be socially retarded. They're not going to learn how to get along with other children. You know, as far as I know, my children get along with everybody their age, but they can also get along with somebody much younger than them. What I learned in public school was that, well, I'm in fourth grade. You're only in third grade. You got to do what I say. I'm better than you. Okay, now all of a sudden there's the group mentality of, you know, segregating into things, and it's this hierarchy. And by the time you're in sixth grade, ready to go to elementary school, you're king of the roost. By the time you get to go to middle school, you're done with elementary school, you're kind of king of the roost, you're the boss, there's nobody above you to tell you you can or cannot do something, or you get to make the rules of the game if it's got several grades in one playing field. But then, you know, of course, reality hits. Now you're going to go to seventh grade and you're at the bottom of the rung there, and you get to be bossed around by everybody else there. But the thing is, I just haven't seen that, at least not with diligent homeschoolers. If one is thinking, well, I'm in seventh grade and you're only in fifth grade, again, another opportunity to train that character. Say, wait a minute, that's not the way Jesus. When you teach them at home, there's certain levels of misbehavior that maybe you are going to see in your children. You can see an attitude that maybe other parents or other people would not see. Not because they're negligent or derelict, they just don't know your children. And there can be a bit of an attitude there, a bit of resistance that they may not recognize, but the parents can recognize it and they can deal. Okay, that's something, again, in a group setting, if you even recognize it at all, it can be very difficult to have time to deal with it rightly. I mean, you can go back to the parents and say, well, Johnny's having a problem with this and that and the other thing. Again, I don't know about you, but I have a difficult time when I haven't seen what's going on. It's hard for me to really discern the right way to deal. But if we're there, we can see it and know a little bit better. Teaching our daughters to be keepers at home. What a blessing that is. What a blessing. They actually get to watch mom cook, clean, school, take care of babies, and do all of these different things. The very things that we want our daughters to do. Rather than just learning how to read, write, learning about English, learning about history, learning about social studies, learning about science, learning about all these things, we also get to see mom being a keeper at home. What does that look like? Well, this is what it looks like. And the same thing with fathers. Sons can see their fathers. They can see them work. They can see their character. And sometimes I admit I fail and I fall short. They can hear my telephone on my desk at home is through the computer. I hear through speakers. I don't pick up a receiver. So every meeting that I have, everybody hears. So, and I know that I have not acted perfectly at times. Sometimes you get a little bit irate. But we at least have the opportunity to teach our children that a soft answer breaketh the bone. What does that look like? Or can you see that happening? Or you can also see how maybe a foolish comment can get everybody laughing. And now there's just can use these as teachable moments. So you get to train their character. The final character training thing that I'm going to talk about here is learning as parents. You know, we have character that needs to be trained too. And it takes some character to keep your home in order to the point where this is going to work. But you've got to make it happen. It takes order. There are people that I've known that have homeschooled, and you can call them up at 8:30 in the morning and their children are still in bed. You got to get up out of bed. You've got to get started and get going on this thing. No wonder you're schooling late into the afternoon, because you don't have the discipline to get up out of bed. Now, granted, I'll say their father was not home. Their father was off. He had a job in another country, and he came home every now and then. Now, I'm not promoting that by any stretch. I'm just saying father wasn't there. But fathers, add some order to your home. It's okay to have your children get up and get ready at a certain time. Again, I'm not promoting myself, but just saying, here's what we do. When we, our morning devotions, at least ideally, I am not perfect. And I say that, so I want to say this carefully. But the expectation is that our children are up, ready for the day, teeth brushed, hair combed, beds made, sitting in our living room by 6:30 a.m. Usually they're there before me. I'm the one that needs the character training. But they're expected to be there and ready to go. The Bibles are passed out. The hymnals are passed out. And we're going to sit. We'll have a couple songs, and I'll teach them from the Scriptures. That's ideal. Oftentimes, I admit, it's not till 6:40, 6:45, sometimes even a little bit later, depending on what's going on, depending on what needs there are in the home. But it's okay to do that. They can do that. It might sound sort of unattainable. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe you guys say, you wait till 6:30? You're a slacker. I don't know. I don't know what's in what all you're thinking. But they can do that. They can be trained to do that. And it'll be part of their pattern. It'll be part of their discipline. And you can teach them. And you can have breakfast finished. And you can start school by 8 o'clock. Or earlier if you want. Pick your, you know, you can, you just need order. What works for your home? I'm not trying to tell anybody this is the way it's got to be done. But what works for your home? That's one of the beauties of homeschooling. You get to choose your schedule. But make it a schedule. You know, not get up and, you know, this one's up at 8:30, this one's up at 8, and, you know, they're just grabbing a bowl of cereal and eating as they go. And, you know, once everybody's finally up and, you know, they've all eaten, we'll try and gather everybody together. Whatever time that is, and we'll start schooling. That doesn't work. It's not going to produce what you're hoping. Have some structure. Fathers, that's your responsibility to set that in the home. Okay? So those are some character things. It teaches the parents as well. Character. By necessity, it's got to happen. You don't have the option. Relationship blessings. I'll just go through these fairly quickly. I love it when my little girl comes up to me and she shows me that she's learned how to write her name. Look, and she's got a big smile on her face, and I can just rejoice with her. That, oh, that's beautiful, honey. You're doing so well. You're doing so well. You get to rejoice with them. That trained them up. By the way, another word for, I'm sorry, bring them up. And that word bring them up, it means to cherish. Cherish your children and cause them to stand. Cherish them. Do that with your children. Rejoice with them. You know, we want to do that with everybody as disciples of Jesus Christ. You know, just because there's somebody younger who's finally learned something that I learned maybe 10 years ago. I mean, how does that look? Well, I learned that a long time ago. No. Well, praise God. Amen. That's a truth of the Word of God. Let's encourage them. We don't look down on them, but you actually get to be there and rejoice with them as they learn new things. Those build relationships. It's personal, individual encouragement rather than just sort of, well, the class is going well or it's not going well. Some are doing well. Some are not doing as well. You get to encourage them in the things as they progress. You get the opportunity and the blessing of being a hero to the children. It's no secret that children look up to their teachers. And their hearts end up going after different teachers. Many children today, oh, who was your favorite teacher? They look up to, oh, this teacher, he was such an incredible influence in my life. Well, isn't it God's design that be directed toward I'm not saying only toward the parents. We can admire many people. I ask my children sometimes, you know, who do you really admire in the church? What about them, you know, just really speaks to you? Those are good things. They should be inspired by other people as well. But if they get to go and be taught by somebody else and they learn everything from somebody else and they got to come home to mom and dad who are just telling them what to do, now it's more fun to be in school. You know, you get to be around your friends and you get to do all these different things, and home life can become kind of a dirge. But you have the opportunity to be a hero to them. They have a natural respect for their teachers, and this wins their hearts. Time spent together draws hearts together. There's no substitute. There's no substitute for time. And if my children are gone 6 hours out of my 12-hour day or whatever, however long my day is, you know, 16-hour day, if they're gone 6 hours of that, that's how much less time is it for them to be influenced and taught and instructed by their parents as they sit in the house and walk by the way and ride. Lie us down and rise us up. That time draws hearts together. Just the time together. And the older children can then help the younger children as well. As your children get older, You know, my daughters, they do help out with the schooling at home of the younger ones. You know, we've got a house full of children. I'm not saying it's not difficult. I'm not saying it can't be overwhelming. But again, when we talk about having the character of the parents trained, some of our greatest lessons and everything have come through the greatest difficulties. Again, if you've got a situation where you've got a very profoundly disabled child, or if you've got health problems or something like that, make it very difficult to school. Again, there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. I'm also not saying that you therefore must do something besides homeschooling, because I think there are ways to do it. But at the same time, there's understanding there to know this is just too much of a burden and I can't handle it. I can't school the rest of my children and still school is just not working. I can't figure it out. But get some help. There is help. Ask other sisters and brothers how to do it. There's also some books and things we can read to encourage us in these things. But don't give up too easily. That's my encouragement. Don't give up too easily, because it can look overwhelming. But these difficult things are where we're going to learn the perseverance. Again, this is our walk too. I need training, not just my children. And it helps us. And my children can see that too. They can see, well, this is a very difficult thing. But mom and dad, they just kept plodding on. They worked through it. Rather than, even though there was a time when I actually even asked for some help and none was to be found. And so we just had to work through this whole thing that looked insurmountable. But you know what? We got through it. And now we have the opportunity to help others. Rather, it's not just about our family. It's about the church. We can help others. Young ladies, if you don't have any, if I can say this, if you have this urge to go out and get a job or something like that because you feel bored at home, I'm sure there's other young mothers who would love to have a little bit of help, whether it be in cleaning or whatever. Again, it's not necessarily your job to go over and school the children, because, again, we want to keep the heart ties between parents and children as much as possible. But there's other responsibilities. And if you can help lift that burden, that really helps. That really helps. It's something else that maybe doesn't need to be done by a mother, but it needs to be done by somebody. And you can be a help in that way. Look around. I don't know if there's a mother around who would complain. Maybe there is. Maybe I shouldn't be so boisterous in saying something like that. But I don't know that there'd be a mother around that would complain if a young lady came over and said, "Hey, can I help you do some laundry? Can I scrub the floor for you? Does your toilet need cleaning?" You know, just help them out. It's something that needs to get done. But it's difficult to get all that done and still have your children in school, especially if they're all young. If you've got a lot of young children, it can be difficult. But there's, you know, we're a brotherhood, sisterhood, if you will. Be a sister. Anyway, I think that's probably about all I'm going to talk about as far as the blessings go. I think I'm probably going a little bit over time here. But I just want to be able to persuade you, if I can, or encourage you. This is something that is very doable. And there are huge blessings involved in it. Blessings that, again, in my viewpoint, I don't know that they could be fulfilled. You would experience these blessings in a group schooling atmosphere. Again, not to cast stones. Sometimes, if that's your preference and that's where your husband wants to go, wonderful. I'm not here to cast stones, but there are blessings involved in it. And I just want to encourage us to take hold of those blessings and experience them. This is another one of the things that I had to obey. I had to do before I could really see the blessings of it. Homeschooling wasn't in my consciousness. Homeschool. But in doing it, we saw the blessing. Just like so many other parts of this Christian, you see the blessing after you obey, after you do it. So let me persuade you with those words. Let me encourage you with those words to continue going. Or if you haven't made those decisions, consider it strongly. It's a blessing like none other. So anyway, I appreciate your time.